is so wonderful to be invited back. Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure. We love the drive to Franklin, and I so enjoy being in my own old stamping grounds. And as Arthur said, it's been a long time, and I was thinking last week as I prepared my talk, 25 years ago was the first time that my late husband and I walked in here and attended services. And there is one face, Elizabeth, so happy to see you from the old time. And Brenda, too. Anybody else I'm forgetting? I hope not. Barbara, yes. Yes. Yeah, John, too. And then pretty soon, you know, many of you started to come. And anyway, I'm not going to go on about that, but I wanted you to know how much I appreciate being here, and I will always consider this my basic spiritual home with all of you. So, enough of that. As we all have experienced lately, there's so much going on out in this world and in our so-called leaders. And don't worry, I'm not going to talk about politics, but it sure brings to mind, as we watch the news, it brings to mind a terrible lack of integrity in our leadership. And so I found something the other day, and Dave said, oh gosh, that is so old, they've probably all heard it before, but I got a kick out of it, so I want to share it with you. Poly in Latin means many, and tix means blood-sucking creatures. So there you go.
I never heard that.
Well, I'm reviving it. Poly in Latin means, oh, I just said that. And if the con is the opposite of pro, is Congress the opposite of progress? So we can ponder on that. But if we believe in divine order, then I believe that everything will be unfolding as it should, sooner or later. And no matter what we believe, let's vote our conscience in the midterm elections and just, enough said, I'm done with that rant. Okay, the meaning of my topic, spiritual integrity, is described by Charles Fillmore in the Daily Word, in the Revealing Word. Spiritual integrity is the quality of consciousness which makes one unswerving in his conformity to divine standard. That divine standard is our very own personal perception of our higher power. And that perception defines who we really are. So as God's children, we are the extension of that divine standard. And I think of myself as a spiritual being in an earthly experience. So that's where the connection is. Now, our earthly experience can be pretty challenging. We all know that. Science says that over 50,000 thoughts go through our mind every day, all the time, constantly. Whew, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Yeah, I know. So we find ways to find a balance and to even ourselves out. Many of us meditate, practice ascension, and just enough mindful rest and quiet time and beautiful songs like what Todd just played for us kind of help us balance a little bit and get back to this, who we really are, and get away from this hustle and bustle of what's going on around us if we can focus ourselves. And we also know that much of what we believe or what we're led to believe is really not true. I used to worry a lot, and it never came true what I worried about. All kinds of scenarios in my mind. And then I reminded myself, let go and let God. And that helps us to refocus, rebalance, and remember who we are. Carl Jung says, in reality, you control your life by getting to know your authentic self. That means I'm not what happened to me, causing fear, but what I choose to become. So we have a choice. And that act of becoming, it takes a little work and courage, some studying, that refocusing on quieting ourselves. And Joseph Campbell says the most heroic act is discovering who we really are. And I find that I continue to discover who I am. And it's such an interesting process. As we do this, we need to get to a point where we do not need or seek outside approval. And that's when our spirit is most powerful, when we're so certain that we know who we are and we act in our God-given, connected integrity. So be comfortable with who you are. You are an individual expression of God, and God doesn't make junk. You are perfect as you are and as you feel that you best serve the place where you're planted. In working on myself and with others, I have found that most of us have a sense of integrity. You know you have a sense of it. You know the people you hang out with have a sense of integrity. And we know just how to do the right thing. It's the still, small voice that guides us. Some people call it a gut feeling. We all have it. You're in a situation where you have to make a decision, and your gut feeling kind of tells you how to go about it. And that gut feeling also helps us to practice integrity. So now let's see if we have some practical ideas on how to apply this integrity. Here's a little guide. Practice awareness of the possibilities to weave spiritual intentions into all areas of our lives. And you know when you get up in the morning and everything goes well and life goes along, you start dealing with other people. Most of the time, you know when there's an opportunity to weave something very positive into your life at that moment. I set the tone every morning by saying, I do all things easily, perfectly, on time, and in order. That helps. It keeps me organized, is a good word. Smile a lot. We smile when we see each other here. It's easy, but sometimes it's more challenging to smile, right? Start every conversation with a compliment. That really works. Praise the workers and the clerks in the grocery store. We sometimes tell the managers if somebody is doing a really good job. And even one time, the district manager, when Winn-Dixie was still here, I went up to him and told him what a wonderful job they were doing. And he was like, his chin dropped to the floor, and he said, nobody ever says anything nice. People just come up to complain. Well, if you think about it, that's why many of the managers hide behind the counter, because when they see somebody coming, they think, oh my God, right? So Maybe let someone know when somebody's doing a really, really good job. And you know what's the nicest part about that? It creates a ripple effect. That manager then is nice to his employees. The employees go home and they say, oh, guess what, honey? You know, it really creates a wonderful ripple effect. It costs us nothing. It is so easy. And I think it's a good thing to do. Now, when my phone rings or when I go to the mailbox, I say, thank you for good news. Thank you for good news. Well, I'm just thinking it's a challenge sometimes when you get the kind of phone calls I don't want to talk about. Even if you're on the do not call list, you get weird and strange phone calls. So we kind of check and see who it is. But we bless them anyway, you know, bless them. But when I go to the mailbox, I thank the universe for good news. Even if it's bills, I love my bills, you know, because I can pay them, so I love my bills. As long as we can pay them, hooray, bills. Okay. Practice gratitude. And we have to remember that thank you is the shortest prayer. And at any time in our mind, quietly, we can say thank you. Right now, I am excited about being here. And Dave can tell you that I was going on this morning in the car about how happy I was to be here today. So thank you, all of you, for coming today and being here and for us to be able to be together. And if you see flowers, a green traffic light, whatever, just say thank you. It's, a wonderful way to show gratitude even within yourself. So, and stay free from worry and self-criticism. You know, so many people put themselves down. God did not create junk, and you know you are a perfect child of God. So, no worrying. It keeps you from being the best that you can be. Let's not worry. Appreciate yourself. And never let the things you want make you forget about the things you have. And we get reminded of that when we see the fires, the floods, all the things where people lose their homes and the terrible things that befall some of our friends and neighbors. And so it makes it really easy for me to appreciate what I do have, even if I don't have everything I want. We are in appreciation for what we do have. And I highly recommend it. Makes you feel good. Practice forgiveness. Ooh, that's a good one, right? And not just on others, but also we have to forgive ourselves. Many times we have to forgive ourselves. And it takes a little courage, takes some strength to do that forgiving process. Nothing is as strong as gentleness, and nothing is as gentle as real strength. So forgiveness shows strength. So when necessary, let's practice forgiveness on ourselves or on others. Now, we have to choose between being kind and being right sometimes. But to be kind, you will always be right. I read that somewhere, and I thought that was so true. And again, that's not always easy, but if we can be kind, we are right. But we don't want to be taken advantage of. And I have a little story I'll share with you that's my favorite family story. One of my family members, her mom passed away, and she had her mom's ashes, and mom's wish was to have her ashes inserted with the family grave in Columbus, Ohio. So Pam and her husband, Gary, drove from Dayton to Columbus, Ohio. They found her grandparents' grave, and sure enough, here it is. And then she had her urn, was really holding on tight to it, and they went to the office of the cemetery there. Oh, here's this handsome looking guy in black suit, white shirt, black tie, you know the type, the funeral directors. And he said, I think we can do that. She explained what she wanted done, and she said, we can do that. Hold on just a minute. He got a notepad, and he said, okay, we need a backhoe, and we need some sod, and we need some laborers, and we need some, then the landscaper has to come back and do that. And it'll be $850. And this was a long time ago. So they looked at each other and they said, oh, thank you, we'll be back tomorrow. So they took a little trip to Lowe's. They got a shovel and a beautiful white azalea bush. And just after 5 o'clock, everybody scattered out of the office. They went back to the family plot, and Gary dug a hole down about 2.5-3 feet, I don't know, in front of the monument between the two coffins, and they gently lowered Mama into the ground. They put the dirt around it, and then put the azalea bush on top, patted it down again, and then she watered it, and they said a little prayer, and they hugged, and they were so pleased with themselves because they fulfilled her mother's wishes. They were very kind to everybody in the process, including the ground was not torn up with a backhoe, and everybody was happy. And I thought that was the right thing to do. And $26 sure beats $850. So I had to tell you that story. It's one of my favorite stories. Now, many of us share their integrity and their lives by volunteering. I think it's a wonderful way to pass on your love and your goodwill to serve others. It's love in action. And to show compassion alleviates not only other people's suffering or situation. Again, it's one of those things that helps us. It comes back to us. I know many of you volunteer, and it makes you feel good. You know that. So it's not, it benefits everybody all the way around. And it's a wonderful way to show love and integrity. Now, I discovered a great treat this last week, and that's Bill and I are finally Facebook friends. I don't know why it took us so long, but if you ever need inspiration or a smile, go to Bill's Facebook page. Brenda's agreed with me. Okay. Now, see, Brenda and I, after 25 years, we're finally Facebook friends. And so is Elizabeth and I. 25 years, we're Facebook friends. You know, we're just catching up with, I think, modern times. Maybe that's what it is. So back to Bill. He posted something, that a quote from Mother Teresa. Many of you have probably seen it, but it was so powerful and right up describing, you know, what I'm talking about, I do believe.
And it was some new thought.
It is. It's just, I was like, wow. I read it and I had to read it again and I said, oh, I really want to use this.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, maybe, you know, everybody's read it because you, our fearless leader, has posted it. But anyway, I would like to tell you what she says. Mother Teresa, I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or that, but now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I am supposed to do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us and we change things. Now that wonderful insight reminds us that we are the hands and feet and the voice of God. And we experience, create, and act as an extension of our Creator. That's why all of this is so important, the awareness of that we are God's children. Now, sometimes actions that we have to take bring us to situations where it does take some strength and courage and some turmoil to make the right decision. And then we have to ask for, in the prayer, that we can be the vehicle to change things as they should be. Now, it's easy to do the right thing when it's sort of obvious. All of us know automatically how to do the right thing sometimes. Now, when we ponder a difficult decision, then it gets a little bit more challenging. And I was thinking about that, and I was reminded that years ago there was a bumper sticker that said, "What would Jesus do?" Do you remember that? Okay. Now, I think it's still a good question. And you know why? As a teacher and way shower, he walked this earth and well understands our human challenges. He also turned the tables upside down. So turn some tables when it's justified. So sometimes when I have a specific question, I say, "Jesus, what the heck would you do now?" And yes, sometimes you turn the tables, and it's all right. If it feels right, it is right. If you follow that gut feeling, you know that it's right. Now, as a former teacher, I know that raising our children gives us such opportunities to share spiritual integrity. Now, most of you work with children or have children, and you know exactly where the challenges lie sometimes, right? But as we work on ourselves, we can set a really good example, and we can look for opportunities to install integrity, family values. And we were talking this morning that in a community or a large family, children get so much input that it really helps and gives them a better idea of what the world is like and how different people get along, how they act. So we have so many opportunities to set a good example. Now, I have the idea that some benign neglect fosters independence and creativity in small children. We don't have to keep them entertained every minute of the day. And I see that as important because pretty soon they'll get the idea that their entire body and soul requires nothing but a piece of electronic equipment. Drives me nuts when I see that. And let's not use that as a babysitter. I know it's hard, but so many opportunities to introduce just creativity. Later on, teens use outer distractions so they don't have to think, because life gets really more challenging as they get older. So sometimes we can divert with lots of attention, with activities. They need lots of approval. They need lots of good input, like an opportunity, like a community or a family values. So we definitely, and we have to say, "I love you" as often as possible. I do don't want to forget to say that. Approval is so important during that time when they grow into themselves. So we have to realize that as parents, coaches, and teachers, we have a great opportunity to plant the seeds of their self-discovery so they can move into a life of integrity if they are guided in a loving and proper way. As we go through adulthood, the Tao gives us some great advice. Act by not acting, do by not doing, enjoy the plain and simple, find greatness in the small. Now, I call that let go and let God, right? If we do that, it takes a lot of these worries away. I have a sign in my office that says, don't sweat the small stuff, because I really wanted to simplify my life when I moved to Asheville. And I did in some ways, not in others, learning too much about the computer. No, I was talking about learning more about computers. So if we don't sweat the small stuff, all these other things I was talking about are so much easier to refocus on and to be calm and to do the right thing. Do we have any country music fans? Hey, wow, okay. So you know Tim McGraw, right? Okay. Now, I personally was raised on classical music, so I'm not a country music fan, but I really, really learned something about Tim McGraw that was wonderful that I want to share with you. He wrote a very meaningful song, Live As If You Were Dying. Familiar with that? All right. Good. Great. His friends Tim Nichols and Greg Wiseman wrote a beautiful little book around the message of the song. And you know what caused all this? A health scare. Something scared him. He got some bad news. Now, that scare then made him turn into the best person that he could be every day. Interesting how a scare sometimes straightens us out, right? My favorite lines from the book are, may we live like we're dying with passion and purpose, with mission and meaning, and with a little wild abandon, with no forgiveness withheld, and no anger held within. That's integrity, if we can do that. So let's not wait for bad news. Let's just kind of try to look for opportunities, for these spiritual opportunities every day. With a goal, as the comedian Martin Short said, I would like to be the best version of myself on the last day of my life. That's what I wish all of you. So let's do a short meditation. Put your feet flat on the floor. And put your palms up. Close your eyes. Thank you, Mother, Father, God, for perfect awareness of the divine standard of your perfection. Thank you for letting me be your eyes, ears, and voice. Thank you for showing me my authentic, true self. Thank you for guiding me to be the best I can be every day, in every situation, with every person. Thank you for opportunities to act with love and integrity. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you.